Well, this is Will Houck with KNBC, and I'm chatting with singer, songwriter, and author Willie Vlauten. Thanks for joining me today, man.
Oh, thanks for having me.
I'd like to start off talking about the different projects you've been involved with over the years. You've played in a number of different bands and written many books. Can you give us a quick overview of the projects?
Oh, man. Well, you know, I grew up in Reno, and then I think I was 27. I was just kind of a failed musician, and I'd written novels, but just for myself. And then I moved to Portland, Oregon. I had a job in a trucking company, and they transferred me to Portland, and I started a band called Richmond Fontaine that I was in for maybe 23 years, and then, you know, wrote a bunch of novels in that time, and then we retired, you know, and then I started another band where I'm not the singer, but I write the songs, called The DeLines, and it's more like country soul ballads, really, and that's it. So I've always pretty much done the same thing, you know, up and down on varying degrees of minor success and failure, but I've always done kind of the same thing.
Right. Well, you know, you're going to do a tour here in Northern Nevada in a couple weeks in support of your most recent book, Don't Skip Out on Me. And it also features a soundtrack from your band. Can you tell us about that project, doing the book and the music together?
Well, yeah. Well, you know, I'd written a book set in Central Nevada, north of Tonopah. And I grew up camping in that area. And, you know, some books I write feel like music. Some inspire music. And this one, it felt like a soundtrack to me, real desert music. And so after I'd written the book and was just editing it, I started writing all these instrumental songs. And my band, you know, we just kind of called it a day, but I called the guys up and I said, you know, can we do an instrumental record before we quit? And, you know, we'd always wanted to do an instrumental record, but we never got around to it. And so we did. So we went in and cut, I think there's 17 tracks on the record, but we cut a bunch of tunes for it. And it's my favorite record, and it's the only Fontaine record I can listen to because it doesn't have my voice on it. And and my favorite pedal steel player is Paul Brainerd from Richmond Fontaine. And I've always loved his playing, and the record kind of showcases him. So it was real lucky that they both worked out, the book did, and then the soundtrack. And then Nevada Humanities made the book, a Nevada Reads, and they set up a tour for me. So I'm doing some dates in Carson and Gardnerville and Reno and Winnemucca and Elko.
Yeah. That's interesting that you say you can't listen to the other records because your voice. What do you mean by that?
Oh, man, I just can't listen to my own voice. It drives me crazy. And, I might sing a line that I don't like now that I liked back then. Mm-hmm. You know, my other band, The DeLines, the singer, her name's Amy Boone, and I love her voice so much I can listen to that stuff easy. Because I just like her voice so much, and I don't beat myself up over lyrics with that band like I do with Richmond Fontaine. Huh. But yeah, you know, I won't exactly jump out of a third-story window when I hear my band, but I might be running down the stairs, that's for sure.
Wow. Yeah, I've heard that from a number of different singers before, singers that I like their voices, and I like listening to their voice, and it's so interesting to me that's a thing. It's a very, I don't know. I guess singing is a very what's the word I'm looking for? You kind of put yourself out there when you sing.
Yeah, you know, I don't know what it is. There are certain songs of mine that I can listen to, and I think, you know, and I, you know, every record we put out at the time, it was the best I could do, and I tried the hardest I could. But for enjoyment purposes, if I had to listen to any of, say, the Fontaine records, it would just be the instrumental stuff. And I've always been a huge fan of instrumental music, so, you know, I always made the band put at least two or three tracks of instrumentals on each record, generally. So, you know, if I'm listening to us, I'll always pick an instrumental.
Gotcha. Well, you know, Nevada has had a huge influence on your writing, and I'd love to hear about your experiences growing up here and your perceptions of Nevada.
Well, you know, I lived in Reno till I was 26 or 27, and you know, I didn't want to leave. I was like I said earlier, I just worked at a trucking company, and I was kind of a failed musician, and I was writing stories, but, you know, and I just wasn't doing that good there. And my mom was really conservative, and so she was kind of not a big fan that I was in a band or wrote stories. So I had to just leave, and so I picked the least scary city in the West Coast, which was Portland at the time, and moved out to Portland. And you know, when I got to Portland, it was like every weird guy like me from Montana, Wyoming, Idaho, and Nevada were all in Portland trying to get in bands together. So all of a sudden you're seeing all these other guys that they were like you. They were just kind of misfits where they're from.
Right.
And so, you know, and Portland had all these great bars you could play in and kind of cut your teeth to become a working musician. But I was homesick the whole time. And I always liked Reno. I would have never left if it wasn't for trying to get in a band. And then, you know, after a while, you just kind of get entrenched up here.
Right.
With all the musicians I know, and my band's all based out of here. But I always thought about it, and so my first couple novels were homesick novels, and my first few Richmond Fontaine records were homesick records.
Yeah.
And then, but you end up just staying where you're at, and where, you know, my wife lives up here, and her family lives up here, and, you know, my band's based out of here, so I just stayed. But I always loved Nevada.
Yeah. What time period was that? Would that have been like late 90s?
Yeah, early 90s, man. Like
early
93, 94
okay.
is when I moved up. And I tried to move back to Reno a couple times, but then, you know, my band was just, we were almost big enough for us to live in different places, but never quite enough. And so we were kind of a working band, so we all kind of needed to live in the same town. But I always went back. I used to go back to Reno all the time. I used to write my novels in Reno a lot, for years, and just drive around Nevada. I always did that.
Yeah. It's an interesting place for sure. It's pretty unique.
It's beautiful. I mean, the Northern Nevada, especially Tonopah up, is my favorite in the world.
Yeah. Well, you know, the characters you write about tend to be very hard on their luck and kind of struggling through life, and you deal with them with this sense of empathy and understanding that's really beautiful. And I'd love to hear about your connections to people like that. Did you grow up around people like that, or like how do you know them so well?
Well, I mean, half of it is just the way I feel. You know, I always thought I would be a bum. I think when I was young, you know, I don't know, I'm just dented, I guess. I always just assumed I might end up a bum. My mom was always really frightened. She worked with a lot of, like, real rough dudes. And you know, when I was a kid, sometimes we'd see those guys that she worked with ending up living by the river. And so she was a single mom, so she was always worried about that. So I think there's some of that is fear-based, you know, why I was attracted to it. And then also, you know, when you're like 15, 16, you think it's romantic. And then in your early 20s, you think, oh, man, maybe I'm not good enough to be anything but a bum. You go through that phase, and then you're in your 30s, and you're like, Jesus, I don't want to be a bum. Please don't let me be a bum. But in general, I think I was always just interested in working-class stories. I read John Steinbeck, you know, really vulnerable age, I think. I think I was like 12 to 17, you know, I read most of John Steinbeck stuff, and it really kind of stuck with me and influenced me. My mom was such a hard-working woman and paycheck-to-paycheck kind of lady that I was always interested in those stories more than any. When I started writing my own stories, I was really interested in that, and like I said, I always liked Reno. And I loved all the weird guys you'd meet, like downtown. All the kind of different kinds of almost drifter guys that lived in the motels. I was always attracted to that
right.
those kind of guys, wondering how and why they were living that way. And as a kid, you think it's all romantic, and as you get older, you realize, holy hell, I just don't want to end up like those guys. But I guess that's why I've always been attracted to working class issues and guys that are kind of on the edge, and, you know, basically because I've always been on the edge, I guess.
Right. Yeah, it's interesting you say that. I was talking to a friend recently about motel life, and there's a lot of it that reminds me of Steinbeck and Mac and the Boys from Cannery Row, and that whole sort of, you know, that vibe of things. And it's interesting that you drew a lot of influence from that.
Yeah, you know, it is. I mean, I've always felt great comfort, you know, by reading Steinbeck. And the motel life, you know, a friend of mine that I went to high school with ended up living in motels. This is before cell phones, really. So you just never knew. You just kind of drove around to see. He always drove the same truck, and so you'd always just drive around, you know, a dozen different motels to see which one he was living at.
Right.
And you know, I've hung out, you know, in that world enough that story just kind of fell out. I wrote a lot of the crazier parts of that novel in the old Fitzgerald Casino, because I used to stay there from Sunday to Thursday, because their rooms were $22, you know, a night. And I always traveled with guitars, and they were safe. It was a safe enough place you could leave your guitars in.
Right.
And then on, you know, Friday, Saturday night, I'd go stay at somebody's house, and then I'd move back into the Fitzgerald. And I wrote a lot of songs there, and a lot of the motel life there.
Interesting. Yeah. Well, you're going to be touring through Northern Nevada. You mentioned a little bit about that, about the places you're playing. But can you talk about the venues you're playing and why you chose those venues to play this
yeah,
round of shows?
I mean, for me, it's really fun. You know, my mom's favorite restaurant was JT in Gardnerville. And, you know, I've been eating there since I was a little kid.
I love that place.
So I called them up and asked them, and they were nice enough to let me play, which is really fun. It's a beautiful bar. It's a beautiful restaurant. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited. And then I'm playing my other favorite Basque joint in Winnemucca called the Martin Hotel. Mm-hmm. And I love that place. And I go there all the time. And then in Reno, I'm playing a bar I used to live right down the street from Corrigan's.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to hang out there for just years. Sadly, I spent too many years in that bar, but it's really fun to get to play Corrigan's as a musician and not just be a drunk.
Yeah, you know, a buddy of mine sent me the link for that show this week, and he's like, "Oh my God, look, he's playing here!" And that bar, me and my buddies used to all hang out there. We played in a punk band, and we'd go to that bar all the time and stuff. And it was just too good. I was like, "Are you kidding me? This is amazing! That's perfect." So we're looking forward.
Yeah,
to
I used
show.
To live right down the street on Vassar and Wells for a few years, and so I used to stumble down there all the time.
Yeah. That's a cool little bar.
One of the ways I got out of Reno. I was like, man, I could end up living in this place. And you know, you get to that age where you start hoping and wishing that you can be like in a working band, that you could be around touring musicians and stuff. And so that's kind of what finally pushed me out of the door.
Right, a little motivation. All right. Well, I feel like I could talk to you all day about this stuff, but. We can kind of wrap things up. If people want to find out more about you online and about your books and your music and all that, what's the best way they can?
I have a website for called willievladen.com, and then the band the DeLines is my new band, DeLines.com.
Mm-hmm.
So if they're interested, but you know, it's easy to find.
Right. Awesome. Well, man, I thank you for chatting with me today. It's been cool.
Oh, thanks for having me, and I can't wait to get to Carson and Gardnerville.
Yeah, well, we're happy to have you. All right, man, I wish you the best of luck out there.
Oh, yeah, man, thank you very much.
Drop me off You can leave me there alone. When I'm a guy,